Good Sunday morning, and welcome to Hot Topics, a presentation of Hot 99.5's Community Affairs Department on Duval's Only R&B. Here's Julie Morgan.
Hello, everyone. I'm Julie Morgan. The budget for Florida went into effect July 1st, but what's included? How does it all break down? Ultimately, where is your hard-earned money going? We're answering that today. I'm joined by Kurt Winner. He's the Vice President of Research at Florida Tax Watch. This is part one of a two-part series. Kurt, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Let's talk about Florida Tax Watch. For our listeners who may not be aware of what Florida Tax Watch is, tell me, what is Florida Tax Watch?
Florida Tax Watch is a nonprofit, nonpartisan research institute for Florida taxpayers. We've been around since 1980. We focus on state government. We do some local government work, but it's basically sound tax policy, efficient government, and we make recommendations to the legislature and the governor, and we've been fairly successful over the years in getting a lot of them implemented. So basically, we're a research institute that looks at public policy at the state level for the benefit of taxpayers.
So would you say that it's really focusing on taxpayer dollars and where their money goes?
Yeah, that's our overall main mission, is the effective use of taxpayer dollars.
Now, I took a look at the 15-page breakdown of the budget guide, the budget that went into effect just a couple of months ago. I looked at it, and it's a lot for the average person to take in. And I understand that it's a breakdown, but what would you say is the top thing taxpayers should really pay close attention to?
Well, in the budget, it's the overall growth of the budget. One thing that people need to realize is that at the state level, education and social services take up the majority of spending. When you look at total spending in the budget, it's about 70% of the budget goes to those two areas. If you look at general revenue, which is the revenue that legislature has really any kind of discretion in spending, it's even higher. About 82% of that revenue goes to education and health and human services. So that's where most of the big spending decisions occur. The other ones are kind of not as much in the forefront, but certainly they're all important. Florida has a reputation of being a low-tax state. It is, and has spending less than most states, and that's true. However, one thing is that you have to realize is that local governments in Florida spend more than the average in other states. So Florida relies heavily on local governments to fund services. So that's not reflected in the state budget. But when you consider all spending in the state, we're a little bit higher up the rankings. So that's important, but, local budgeting decisions or what happens in Floridians' own communities is important, and that's where taxpayers really can have an effect, is paying attention to what's going on with their city and county governments.
That's interesting. Now, one of the things you said, that education and social services, most of the money goes to those things. But some people would look at that and they would say, well, that's good. Education, we're thinking about the future, social services. We're thinking about what's happening now with people. So is that a good thing?
Yeah, I mean, that's where the priorities should be. That's the way that is what happens. In the area of social services, a lot of that money coming in is federal money, and the big thing being Medicaid. So a lot of that money is tied up in funding the Medicaid program. There's more discretion in education, and the legislature has done a pretty good job in focusing on funding in the classroom in our private public school system, and we've seen increases in per student funding for several years now. So, yeah, you should expect that, and I think those are the proper priorities to have. But you can't forget about other things, particularly things like transportation and infrastructure, which are kind of an afterthought in Florida. They don't compete for the same dollars that that education and social services does. It's funded through the trust fund, And that's one area where Florida Tax Watch has found that, we're kind of behind in funding. We have a lot of unmet needs over the next 25 years, something like $160 billion. And our current revenue system for transportation is not sufficient. And that's one area where Florida is probably going to need to look at making additional investments in the future.
So thinking about that, you said transportation, but people will look around the city, specifically here in Jacksonville, and they'll say, well, we see so many transportation projects going on. So how could that be?
Well, I'm not sure about what's going on in Jacksonville. And again, a lot of that is local. But if you look around the state, particularly when you get farther south in some of the bigger areas, the congestion is considerable. And also, when you talk about transportation, it's not just roads and bridges. And again, we have a lot of deficient bridges and roads that need to be addressed. But it's also things like airports, seaports, which help move economic development, and transit. And Florida is certainly behind a lot of states in terms of public transportation. So there's a lot of areas. Jacksonville, you all might have it pretty good there, but there's a lot of people in the state that would say, we really need some additional transportation funding. Over the years, Florida has done a pretty good job at keeping state roads maintaining them, spending a lot of money on resurfacing and the lot. But that's kind of been at the expense of new projects. And so we're behind the eight ball in terms of, congestion in a lot of areas of the state.
Okay.
And and the forecasts are for it to get a lot worse.
Now, that's something else I was going to ask you about, because I looked at another guide that was also on Florida Tax Watch website. But let me ask you this, and speaking of the guides, I kind of got a little bit ahead of myself. When we talk about the budget guide, and if someone were to go onto your website to take a look at the budget guide, how exactly would you explain it? What is the budget guide?
The budget guide is something we put out every year. It looks at the state, the Appropriations Act, which is the big budget. And again, another thing that it includes, which a lot of people aren't aware of, is all the money that is spent in other bills that kind of doesn't get the same notice that the appropriation does. So during the session, you'll hear about the state budget and how much it costs, but that never includes all the other spending that goes on. So we include it all in there. We show how it's spent by program area. We give some highlights in all the various agencies about where the spending goes. We look at the history of how it's grown over time, how the composition of the budget has changed. It's just a whole lot of data to show where the state is spending money in the current budget. So it's basically its purpose is to have something handy for the taxpayers to use if they want to really get into where their money's going.
Now, another thing that I looked at was budget turkeys. What is a budget turkey?
A budget turkey is a project that is put in the budget without the proper review, often getting put in the very last minute, or projects that circumvent an established selection process. And these are, at the federal level, you hear pork barrel or earmarks. They're sort of the same thing, although, we give some discretion for the legislature to put in programs like that benefit local areas. But when you do that, when you put in a special project that is really more narrow and doesn't fund a statewide issue, you really need to make sure that money is the right use of funds. So we look at that. We look at projects that are stuck in at the last minute. We highlight those. So every year we produce a list of projects that we recommend to the governor for his veto. And over the years, various governors have vetoed a large number of those. So, you know, we're not opposed to local projects, but we want to make sure that when, you know, an appropriation is for a more narrow purpose than statewide, that it makes sure that it gets all the debate and scrutiny that it should.
And I noticed one thing that it says that the budget turkey label does not signify judgment of a project's worthiness.
Right. So, you know, there could be, say, a funding for a museum in a local, in a city, which may be a good project. The question is, though, is that what the state tax dollars should go for? Should that be more of a local issue? And there are programs set up to fund things like parks, museums, other cultural facilities, local water issues, that is a kind of a competitive selection process that these things should go through. And there's usually after they've been reviewed, there's a recommended list that's provided to the legislature to kind of choose from. But often what they'll do is they'll fund things that didn't go through those review processes. So those are the kinds of things we point out. And you know, we were talking about transportation earlier. It's particularly important in the transportation area because of our transportation planning system, which is a 5-year, very involved planning system that works comprehensively to make it coordinated throughout the state. Local governments are involved, build it up from the top in the legislature, and this has kind of gotten out of control in the last few years. At the last minute, we'll add local transportation projects that aren't in the transportation work program. What that does is that will move projects that have been reviewed and are part of this coordinated process out and bump them further down the road at the expense of these local projects that come in. So those are the kinds of things that the Budget Turkey Report looks for, and we've been doing that again for 30 years.
Yeah, I took a look at that in the appendix of the Budget Turkey guide, and I saw quite a few things that were vetoed and quite a few things that actually went through a committee, but they ended up on this list as well.
Hot 99.5, keeping you up to date with what's happening in the community. This is Hot Topics on Hot 99.5.
I also noticed, and you mentioned this, the guide said that many member projects are worthwhile, but in some serve a regional or statewide interest, but most of them benefit a limited number of Floridians and should be a local community or local government responsibility. When we think about this, I guess the reason for it being in the state budget is maybe because it cannot be in the local budget, because the money isn't there. So how does that work?
You know, local governments have ways to raise money as well. And if they can't convince their taxpayers that something in their local area is worth funding through increased property taxes or other taxes and fees that they have, then why should other taxpayers in the states devote their limited tax dollars to local governments? I mean, local governments, a lot of them are, you know, have tight budgets, but the state has a tight budget every year. And this next year is not going to be any different. There's not enough money to fund everything that everybody wants to do. There, you know, no government has can fund everything that everyone wants to do. So the point is, funding should be done at the local area first for local projects. That said, the state spends billions of dollars every year on local projects, but those should go through these review and competitive processes that are already established in state law. If they go through those, then we don't have a problem with it. It's when they circumvent those and, kind of ignore what's set up and stick something in the budget at the very last minute that nobody even often knows there's in there, then that tends to be a problem.
Gotcha. I also noticed that Tax Watch is projecting shortfalls in the coming years. How so?
This has been going on for a while. We will know in a couple months exactly when the new estimates come in about, one, what projected costs are going to be for what the state is doing now, and what projected revenues are going to be. But like I said, for the last few years, it's been tight, and that's largely because Florida is spending more than it's going to be taking in. And Florida basically, although we do keep a fairly good reserve from year to year, that's kind of set. But you know, we basically spend everything that's available. And when you do that, and you have things that are rising as quickly as Medicaid services, the legislature rightly wants to increase education funding, and all the things that that add up just through normal growth, it gets harder and harder. And the legislature, has been cutting taxes, reducing revenue for some years. A lot of those tax cuts we agree with, but you know, a long view needs to be taken about what that's going to do to the state budget in the long term. And there are ways to free up money to do things like tax cuts. And there's a government efficiency task force that has a compendium of recommendations. This was constitutionally created that the legislature could implement. Florida Tax Watch has a government efficiency center that we also make cost-saving recommendations every year. And those things can help, one, free up money to be spent in more productively, and two, to have some money available to give some of it back to the taxpayers. So, that there are things that the legislature can do. They do a fairly good job about putting the limited dollars we have into the right places and spending it correctly, but there's always ways to improve that, improve efficiency, improve cost effectiveness, and to kind of get unnecessary spending out of the budget.
One term you just mentioned, and help my listeners understand what all of this means, reserves. What is the reserves? And also, I noticed another term in the different reports in the guide, trust. What is the trust?
Okay, let's start with reserves. There's several reserves in Florida. One is what they call the Budget Stabilization Fund, and that is set in the Constitution, and a certain amount of a percentage of state revenue has to be in there. And that money is set aside for true emergencies or budget deficits. A deficit's different than a shortfall. A deficit is after you've appropriated the money, and you know Florida has a balanced budget requirement. You either have to go in and cut that spending, or find additional money. So the Budget Stabilization Fund is set aside. There's about $1.5 billion in there, and that is to fund deficits and also statewide emergencies, like say hurricanes, things that need to be done. That can only be brought out by the legislature, and then it has to be repaid. So that's kind of set aside. The reserves that everybody usually talks about is what they might call the rainy day or just cash reserves, and that's the general revenue that's unobligated every year that they don't. Basically, the legislature tries to keep some money that's available during the year unspent, and it sits there in the general revenue fund in case it's needed for something like deficits running in a particular program that they want to fund. And we've been pretty good at keeping that. The last few years, it's come down to about $1 billion. It was higher than that for some time. But, you also have to remember the recession hit Florida very hard, and it took a few years to recover from that. So we saw something that's never happened in Florida before, and that's revenue and expenditures fall for a few years in a row. So that really kind of changed everything in terms of looking historically. But things are getting better. It's starting to pick back up. But there's still some catching up to do to what happened from the recession.
Next week, Kurt will break down the definition of those trust funds he mentioned. We'll also talk about how Florida is faring after the recession. I hope you join us for that discussion as well. Thanks for listening today, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Hot Topics on Hot 99.5. Hot Topics is a presentation of Hot 99.5's Community Affairs Department. For more information about the program you just heard, visit myhot995.com, then click on Hot Cares. And join us again next Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. for another edition of Hot Topics on Duval's only R&B, the new Hot 99.5.